Well, I tell you this. This is Walker Cronkite talking to you live, talking to Shante Earl. He's leaving at the moment. But I tell you this. We will return. And we will talk about this section of the world and what it's coming to. Black power.
And now we're here.
Hello. Once again, this is Walker Cronkite coming to you with a political truth. I'm asking the question again. Have you seen Donald Trump? And I ask you a question. What do you think when I say Donald Trump? Some people look at him as an oof, somewhere like he's not supposed to be. But I tell you, it's strategized. Go back to the inauguration of Trump winning and taking the Oval Office. If you look at it, just by looking at it, no telling what you may think. But you see it from the political eye, you'll see the exact parallel, him leading after Andrew Jackson, who went against his forefathers, which is going against the country, the creators of the country. If you go against the forefathers before you, dear boy, you're going against what they created and the very ideal of what they've done. Look it up in history. Andrew Jackson, in doing his inauguration, spoke against the forefathers, against him. Before him, I mean. Excuse me. There's no recording of errors or such. But my point is, Donald Trump spoke against his presidents before him as to mock and do the similar things of Andrew Jackson. And you could also go to it and see that he hung Andrew Jackson up in the Oval Office. They will talk about it and say someone else swayed him to do so, but I tell you, dear boy, in doing so, he's brought on the Jacksonian doctrine, which was racist and against the United States. It's all parallel, history repeating itself. But just to say that Donald Trump is not just pulling things out of his ass. He's not a buffoon. He has a gameplay. And the gameplay has already been played, so he's redoing somebody else's gameplay. So to see political history and its truth, you have to see this and realize he's jacking the country in, just as Jackson did. Political history, let's say here, give you something. Where did the donkey come from on the logo for the Democratic Party? Answer these questions. And if you do your research correctly, some of you, you might come to find out that an artist, cartoonist, in his day, drew the donkey. And find that, hey, the Jackson scoffed at it and kept it out of spite, if you wish. But it came from Jackass Jackson, what they called him, for doing the things he'd done it the way Trump is doing it in this day. The country wasn't with it. It was split. It was the planting seed for the Civil War, boy. Look at it. Not only did he win and take away the Republican Party and have it change also the country from a two-party system, one man representing both parties, to keep it united, we stand, divided, we fall, you know, the Union. Together, but designed that way. But he broke that and brought it for a one-party system for whites only. And it's never been corrected, dear boy. Never been looked at to correct. That's what this show is all about. To bring about a change of doctrine, a way of thinking, for you to realize that the American dream of all created equal is an idea that you must, well, I should say not must, but I would expect you to want, you know, the best things of life and equality and respect for all. But anyway, that they felt that, you know, equality of all is the idea of America, dear boy. So if we don't have that very idea today, it don't exist. And the other side has been fighting it ever since to demolish it. But anyway, So where do you decide to be today when you reveal? I get out better to get these same facts out, but more clearly, without a lot of words, but to get to the gist of the point is, what is your choice? Are you a bigot? Are you a person who don't speak up to the bigot? What are you? Where's your spine? Once you know the truth, and your choices after try to be noticed. The truth of the matter is, are you the United States, no matter where you came from? Are you for the equality, or no matter what religion you are? Are you for the better good of mankind? Or are you selfish and one opinionated for one party, one person, one color? Do you just want it for the brown skin, or the white skin, or the yellow skin? Or do you want it for all skin and all mankind? What shall it be? Because this has already been fought, dear boy. That's all I'm bringing up, and ruffling the feathers of history to let you know that this has already been fought. There's no need to create the wheel. Just what team are you joining? The Democratic side for all, or the Democratic only party, or the Conservative party, or whatever you call it? They're all the same. Once we reveal the Conservative Republican is the Jacksonian, is the KKK, is all that one doctrine. So we know what their choice may be. All right. This is Walker Cronkite with the political truth. And this is Info on the United States, part 2. Here we are now. To bring us up to speed, we were talking about Andrew Jackson. He was the president in 1828 who established what they call then, today, a Donald Trump. He was for the white people only. He was against the presidents before him and the equality for all, what this country was founded on. 1828, he won. Andrew Jackson. In his day and age, they called him a jackass. Jackass Jackson's what they called him. He went against the doctrine of the United States and the forefathers, and he did so in his inauguration. When he won in 1828, if you research, you'll see. He talked against the forefathers before him, and so forth. And he established a new Democratic Party for white folks only. It's in history, look it up. I'm not making this up now, listen. So in doing so, he changed it from equality for all into whites only. One party. At that time, Andrew Jackson changed it from a two-party system. The United States is founded on this here, listen. Nobody ever corrected it. Listen. Two-party system. John Quincy Adams, look it up, is what you call a Dem Rep. He's a Democrat and a Republican. You are one person representing both parties. A two-party system. It changed. John Adams, the dad of John Quincy Adams, the sixth president is John Quincy Adams. The second president is John Adams, his dad. He was a Federalist, if you look it up. He was the last Federalist. The third to the sixth presidents were Dem Reps. Both parties represented by one person. It changed by the seventh president in 1828 by Andrew Jackson from Dem Rep party to one party, Democratic only, for whites only. This is what we don't recognize in history on one accord. To see the change within America at that point in time. So the Republican Party, as a name, was gone, no more. I believe the people that established this country, the key founding fathers, then became like in a Whig party that came back a few times, but wasn't powerful. It never brought back the two-party system, but they devised some way, and then time to come, by 1854 or so, establishing the Republican Party again. By 1861, they brought it to the ballot, I believe. You know the history, look it up. Abraham Lincoln was with the Whig Party, but then it became the Republican Party when he won, running for it, and him to run for it. And they brought back the two-party system by electing another Southern doctrine man, of the Jacksonian doctrine, what we call it. It's the Southern thinking. We'll get more into that. But we have to establish first to realize the United States is not built on slavery, first off. We can't go for that. We have to come back on one accord to recognize the truth and see it. That these men changed the United States, in the sense the politicians and so forth, and we can change it back, you know, by knowing better to do better. Then we have Andrew Johnson. If you look, he's the 17th president. If you see, he wasn't a Democrat or a Republican when he ran with Abraham Lincoln to broaden the ticket. That's the way they brought back the two-party system. Two men represent both parties together, you know, Democrat and Republican on the same ticket. Last time we've seen this, yeah, Abraham Lincoln and Andrew Johnson. We know what happened. He was short, Abraham Lincoln. And you look then, like thinking about the parties, Andrew Johnson at that time, when Abraham Lincoln was, before he went to the theater, wasn't a Democrat or a Republican in party. But he was a Democrat in doctrine and way of thinking, my Jacksonian, you see. So when Abraham Lincoln was shot, if you look and do your research, you'll see he swore in and became a Republican. But he was not a Republican by doctrine and thinking, which now you come to see how they took over both ends of the stick, if you will, and see that the Republican Party became more conservative Republican, which is an added word, you know. Now you have a conservative Republican-based party that thinks more like a Jacksonian, if you recognize the language and the doctrine, and it's here to, you know, to say that the gray coats are conservative Republican. Tea Party more, so now you say, but it's still the same, you know. It's ladies' tracks, you know, we're running on them. But if we recognize those things, maybe we can do something about them, you know, and bring back the all for one and equal party for Republican Democrats to have one person, whether it's female or male, represent the both parties just for equality and establish that the Conservative Republican Party is just for itself, you know, the whites only. It's right there. I can bring more to it to show this effect, and I shall. But, you know, this is Walker Cronkite establishing with you that in history, it's repeating itself. You can see a lot of us don't recognize, but he's president. When he's been coming elected into office, he's chewed certain things, and he modeled his presidency after an established president before him. And you see, Abraham Lincoln was done by Obama in 2008. If you go back to the inauguration, and swore in on the Abraham Lincoln Bible and those things, and he modeled his presidency after Abraham Lincoln. I'm not sure, but if you contact Obama himself and ask him, I believe he'll tell you that he modeled his presidency after Abraham Lincoln. I would think so. I would like to answer to that. If there's a way you can leave that in comments, let me know. This is all facts, you know. I'm not just talking, rambling. This is no fact, dear boy. This is all trend. No fact, yeah. This is the political truth to establish that this has been done before. This is the United States, you know. The more you have to get your way, the more you control, you know. It's been white folks only by the Supreme Court, you know, by the decisions making by the highest court of the land, in which way they think and control, you know. With direction, that know that one exists. The Confederacy of America, you know, the Confederate States. You know, not the United States, it's a whole different country. I believe if you look back, the gray coats after Juneteenth had to come in, and a lot of us celebrate Juneteenth because the blacks didn't know they were freed and so forth, and, you know, time later. But also, if you establish around that same period in time, the gray coats came into Balanski, Tennessee, and, you know, other areas, but they found out they lost the war and knew that they lost, and they had to swear in, like anyone else, that come from another country, another source. Although they were on a different water, but they were still here on the same soil, they were of a different country. So if you look back in history, they had to swear into the United States flag like anyone else would from another country. to become a citizen, to be back in the Union. And they had to swallow the dog, they call it. And they gritted their teeth as they bared to say the words to swear in. Hatred in their heart for it. You tell me that's change? And it went somewhere else? No, I tell you it's Confederacy. It's merely conservative. It's a way of thinking. It's a way. Just own up to what it is, you know. And they believe the Jacksonian doctrine, you know, Andrew Jackson, they call it. That walked into the Confederacy and then the KKK. I believe if you look back, you know, you'll establish that very clearly. There's nothing far-fetched. Andrew Jackson brought in the white folks only doctrine, for Democrats only. He changed it. So if we don't go back and do something about that moment in time and we bring it back, we're not changing anything, no matter where our heart is felt and what admirations we want to do. If we don't know how to repair and redo. What I'm saying there, boy, is you look at Trump. He came in, people say that he's a oof, he just came in out of nowhere. But if you look at Trump's inauguration, he formed it after Andrew Jackson from the get-go. It's all strategized, it's very particularly and precise. And if you look back now in 2016, when he swore in and so forth, his inauguration, he talked against the president before him, as Andrew Jackson did. He put Andrew Jackson up into the Oval Office and so forth and hung him and modeled his presidency after Andrew Jackson. And throughout his presidency, we're going to say the same thing they said about Andrew Jackson, about the racism and the way that he talked and doctrine and governance. It's no hidden secret if you know your politics and history repeating itself. And I'm saying revisit it and see the change of the country. Trump undid Obama's doing, and we've never undid Andrew Jackson's doing for the white folks only when he made it for one party, democratically only. And then you had the Whig Party come back until, we know, 33 years later. Did you do that time? It was 33 years. There was no Republican Party at all. It was only Democratic only for whites only since 1828 until. Why do you think when Abraham Lincoln won, the South succeeded? Because they knew what it stood for. So they succeeded. Became their own country. That was done way before, in April of 61. Had the generals and armies and navies and money and presidents and vice presidents and charters and so forth. The whole country, they were. Not just another side of view of blacks and whites and slavery and stuff. But another established country. But slavery was the ideal of the bread and butter. So slavery is involved within it. And the idea of how you look at the man or the animal. To them, the blacks were no freedom, no rights. Jacksonian doctrine. And it's still today how they think, and it's not that I'm upset, I'm just telling you the facts. You know? Where it comes from, what it is. So you see Trump with Andrew Jackson hung in the wall, and you see him going to his graveyard and giving speeches and to his home and so forth. Look up Andrew Jackson, what he stood for. It's right in your history. Now, today I want to talk about two characters before I leave. Well, this is 17 episodes, so you do your due diligence, if you would. I'm going to respect to those who need it, you know what I'm saying? I'm speaking up for Cassius Marcellus Clay, a politician. And if you look up this Cassius Clay, not Muhammad Ali, dear boy. We're going talking about a political person here. I believe Cassius Clay was named after. Listen. This man was born in October 19th, 1810. His nickname was the Lion of Whitehall. He stood for equality, dear boy. Stood for it, died for it, you know what I mean? He was a pioneer down in Kentucky. He was a prominent anti-slavery crusader. But he was the son of a Green Clay, one of the wealthiest landowners and slaveholders in Kentucky. Clay worked toward emancipation, both as a Kentucky state's representative and as an early member of the Republican Party. He spent 25 years of his life publishing The True American before Lincoln tapped him and asked him to tell about the proclamation of emancipation. Clay attended Transylvania University and then graduated from Yale College. Clay served 3 terms in Kentucky House of Representatives, but he lost support among the Kentucky voters as his platform became more focused on ending slavery, see. We sort of go right to the fact that since somebody owned slaves and they passed, that they was for it, you know what I mean?
Right.
Not true. You got to look at the stats of the people, you know, in the political party, what they stood for, what they fought for in their time. This man was shot in the chest for what he believed in about ending slavery, deep down in Kentucky. Let's go on. Assassination, he survived in 1843 during a political debate by the attackers, the Confederates. He defended himself seriously, wounded his attackers with his bowing knife and throwing him over an embankment. In 1845, he began publishing an anti-slavery newspaper called The True American in Lexington, Kentucky. What I'm trying to tell you is, there's other men too, before his time. Charles Sumner, look at this man here. Charles Sumner, he was born in January 6, 1811, to March 11, 1874. He was an American politician, a senator from Massachusetts. Okay? He was of the radical Republicans in the United States Senate during the American Civil War, working to destroy the Confederacy. Free all the slaves and keep all good terms with Europe during the Reconstruction. He fought to minimize the power of the ex-Confederates and guarantee equal rights to all the freedmen. Sumner changed his political party several times, gaining fame as a Republican. He devoted his enormous energies to the destruction of what Republicans called slave power. In his efforts of a slave owners to take control of the federal government and ensure that the survival of the expansion of slavery in 1856, of South Carolina Congressman Preston Brooks, who wanted that. He nearly killed Sumner on the Senate floor 2 days after Sumner delivered an intensely anti-slavery speech called The Crime Against Kansas. In this speech, Sumner criticized the attacker's cousin, some Carolina senators, Andrew Butler, as a pimp of slavery in the speech. Sumner criticized the attacker's cousin, South Carolina Senator Andrew Butler, as a pimp for slavery. The episode played a major role in the coming of the Civil War. During the war, Sumner was a leader of the radical Republican faction that criticized President Abraham Lincoln for being too moderate on the South, one of the most lean statesmen of the era. He specialized in foreign affairs and worked closely with Abraham Lincoln to keep the British and the French intervening on the side of the Confederacy during the Civil War. Sumner enterprised the energy made him powerful chairman of the Senate Committee of Foreign Relations. Anyway, a lot of men put their life on the line fighting for equality to free the slaves that we don't know of. And these are the very men that have formed the United States. But it was taken over, dear boy, by Andrew Jackson in 1828. But there's still people fighting on the Senate floor, literally. So as we go on, we shall look up these different characters in our lifetime and give just due where it's due. Once again, I stay tuned for the next episode.
Can we get the end of it?
I can do the end again. Once again, stay tuned for the next episode. Info on the United States.
That's 18 minutes.
In 18 minutes?
Yeah.
Put that top back on it.
I got it. 18 minutes?
Yeah.
Not that long, huh?
Huh?
It's long, but not long, right?
Yeah, you break it up. You know what I'm saying?